Voter registration in Missouri's 7th Congressional District is overwhelmingly Republican. It just isn't fair if you're a Democratic candidate, and it certainly is beyond any earthly hope that a third-party candidate is going to actually win the election. I run for the House of Representatives in Missouri's 7th District not because I actually expect that I'm going to win, but simply because it gets me a platform, and I'm able to share the vision that I believe made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history, liberty under God, and it gives me a chance to perform, I think, an educational function. Now, Ron Paul, in his recent presidential campaign, stressed frequently that we need to reconsider the basic function of government. Is it the function of government to print up money and pass it out and pass out goodies to voters to bribe them to vote for certain politicians? Is that the purpose of government, a kind of glorified Santa Claus? Or is there something else, some other purpose? I'd like to be even more radical than Ron Paul and ask the question, do we need archists in our society at all? A much more radical educational campaign. Now, if you're looking at the website and you see the box that says number one, 2008 presidential election, I'd like to show you the prospects for electoral victory in Missouri's 7th Congressional District. This year, 2012, is a presidential election. That means it's very different from the midterm election because it's different in the same way that Easter and Christmas are different at Christian churches. You have a whole lot of people who show up for church on Easter and Christmas that never show up any other time of the year, and that will be this year. That was the case in 2008. If you look at the results there, which I took from the Missouri Secretary of State's website, just copy and paste, you can see that the Republican Roy Blunt, who's now the Missouri senator, he won the election by over 100,000 votes. 100,000 votes to spare. It's just an overwhelming landslide. Now, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see that 2 years ago in the midterm election, we had pretty much the same result. Turnout was down 100,000 votes, but still, the Republican wins by tens of thousands of votes. He has way more votes than he needs. Now, you'll notice that in 2008, we had a Libertarian and a Constitution Party, and in 2010, I basically picked up the Constitution Party votes. I was thinking that in 2012, if I did some really excellent campaign work, I might be able to double my results again by getting new people. I think that's especially true with the Ron Paul phenomenon. There are a lot of voters in Southwest Missouri who are looking for a Ron Paul type candidate. That would be me because I'm a liberty candidate, and I think possibly I could double my votes. However, it's still impossible to catch up with Billy Long, the Republican who won his first term in office in 2010. So if you look down at the third box there, number three, 2012 presidential election, you'll see the three candidates in this year's race. Jim Evans, the Democrat, Billy Long, Republican, Kevin Craig, Libertarian. And we'll see what the total votes are. I would like to make this suggestion. If I could just change three letters in this campaign, I could win the election. Here's how that's the case. If you'll just keep scrolling down there, you'll see the three pictures again, but this time I've changed the letters. Instead of Jim Evans D, you've got Jim Evans L, and instead of Billy Long R, you've got Billy Long D, and instead of Kevin Craig L, you've got Kevin Craig R. Voters go to the polls, I think, especially in a presidential year, and they don't know they don't know who stands for what. All they do is vote for the R candidate or the D candidate. Or particularly for the president, they might know who they're voting against in the presidential election. But if they continue on the first page of their ballot and vote for a senator or a congressman, the overwhelming majority of voters simply look for the R or the D. And obviously in Missouri, the overwhelming majority of voters look for the R. If they accidentally placed the R after my name, I believe I would win the election. And it has nothing to do with issues. It has nothing to do with who's qualified. It simply has to do with single-issue voters whose single issue is who's got the R. You might think, well, come on, Kevin, they surely know more than that. Surely they would know that Billy Long was the Republican and you're not the Republican. Well, I don't know. And the more that they know, the more confused they would be. What I've done underneath those three pictures with the change letters is I've given you some quotations and some statistics about their records. I pulled a few lines from Jim Evans's website to try to make him look like he's a libertarian. Very tough to do. He's a big government, progressive liberal Democrat. Billy Long, look at his voting record. He's clearly a Democrat. If you want to pause the audio here and just look at some of the things he voted for, he empowered the Obama administration and the Democrats. He gave huge amounts of power, increased spending. He looks like a Democrat. And I haven't checked every single one of these issues myself at the Thomas website or whatever. I've pulled these from a pretty reliable conservative blogger who's compiled some relevant votes from Billy Long, and he's voted for big government. He campaigned on the platform of being fed up with big government, but he's voted for big government. Not every time. Every special interest Republican group can find something that they like about Billy Long. They'll make that the item in their survey, and they'll give him 100% ranking because they vote for the one he voted for the one issue that they're interested in. But on the whole, I would dare say that America's founding fathers would not say this is the mark of a person who is committed to a strict construction of the United States Constitution. It just isn't there. Huge expansion of government power and a lot of special interest spending. On the other hand, if you compare my record, even though technically I'm a libertarian, I look like a Republican. I'm the most fiscally conservative candidate in the race. I'm the most socially conservative candidate in the race. And in fact, it's ironic. Ron Paul, running as a Republican, proposed cutting $1 trillion in his first year if he were to be elected as president. And of course, the big government, the big Republican guns like Karl Rove and the shills like Hannity and Limbaugh all said how ridiculous Ron Paul is. But what Ron Paul was proposing was not very much different from the Republican Party national platform as it existed in the first year that our previous congressman, Roy Blunt, was first elected to a Congress. Here's the relevant passage. It says, as a first step in reforming government, this is just the first step, we support elimination of the Departments of Commerce, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, and the elimination of a whole bunch of other government bureaucracies, which are clearly unconstitutional or wasteful or even downright harmful, like the National Endowment for the Arts, National Endowment for the Humanities. Those organizations, a lot of controversy back in the 90s, because they should have been called the Federal Department of Pornography, because they were giving so-called artists money to produce so-called works of art, which were totally blasphemous, anti-Christian, and pornographic. And what happened? In 1996, here's what the Republicans are campaigning on. Eliminate these. They're campaigning on Ron Paul's domestic spending agenda. Abolishing entire cabinet-level agencies. A huge cut. But you have to remember that the grassroots Republicans are not represented at all by the Republican machinery, the bigwigs and the big bosses, and by the candidates that get nominated. The Republican Party platform in 2012, it doesn't resemble anything that Romney actually stands for or will do. Grassroots delegates create platforms which are routinely ignored by the candidates and the big shots in the Republican hierarchy, the party machinery. But what happened? In 1996, the Republicans say, we're going to abolish all these agencies. And in the year 2000, George W. Bush is elected Republican president. We had a Republican Congress. We had a majority on the Supreme Court that were appointed by Republicans. Did they abolish these agencies? No, not a single one. In fact, Republicans, when they had control, when they could have done anything they wanted to, they actually increased the spending for all these agencies that they promised in their platform to eliminate. They actually doubled the Department of Education's budget from what it was under Bill Clinton. So you can have a person who campaigns as a Republican, but that doesn't mean he really is a Republican. That doesn't mean he really wants smaller government. However, I think it's clear from my platform that I really do want smaller government. I'm the one who wants to abolish the Fed, for example. The reason I want to abolish the Fed is because the Constitution says our legal tender is supposed to be gold and silver. And the Fed allows the federal government to spend and spend and spend by simply creating money out of thin air. I am clearly the most fiscally conservative candidate in this race. I'm also the most socially conservative candidate. I support the concept of personhood. I oppose all the hot-button social issues. The only thing is that I don't believe in using government force to eradicate homosexuality, for example. I don't believe in public schools because those are coercive and compulsory education is not the way to go. I do believe in parental freedom, and I do agree with most parents who want their children to understand creation, who want prayer in public schools, or they want prayer in their children's schools. I'll put it that way. I've taken the small government pledge. It's obvious since I'm not an anarchist, and I'm willing to open myself up to the criticism of being an anarchist, and that I am a libertarian, and that I'm a radical libertarian, that I'm for small government in a way that voters could actually trust. Yep, I bet he won't vote for a tax increase. I bet he won't vote for bigger government. I'll bet he'll do everything he can to shrink the size of government. And that is, in fact, the case. So if all we did was change the letters after the candidate's name in say, the last week of the election, every TV ad, they all had the letters all switched up, and then the voters go to the polls in November, and they see the names Kevin Craig followed by R, Billy Long followed by D, Jim Evans followed by L. You'd get results like we had 4 years ago in the previous presidential election, and that would be Kevin Craig winning by a landslide of over 100,000 votes. Because Republicans don't know who they're voting for, they don't care what the issues are, they don't know the candidates, they just vote for the guy that has the R after his name. Well, if that's the case, then I suspect that it would definitely be the case that you could throw the election completely the other way around. Even if I had the R after my name on all the official campaign materials, you could still throttle my campaign by simply telling people, spreading the word, Kevin Craig is an anarchist. Now, this reflects, I think, in two ways. On a problem that George Washington talked about, I think, in his farewell address. He warned against the spirit of party, that is, putting a party ahead of your country, and more importantly, putting your party ahead of the Constitution, and even more important than that, putting your party ahead of the principle of small government and not having a people who are sheepish and dependent on the federal government, having a totalitarian government, a dictatorial government, a huge government that takes a majority of everything we earn and dishes it back out to us the way the government thinks that we ought to spend it. People in Missouri, people everywhere across this country, put the parties, the political parties, ahead of their country. And they put loyalty to the party machinery ahead of the candidates who are standing for the right positions and doing so with integrity and credibility and believability. So check out that quotation there from George Washington, who warned against this spirit of party. That's the spirit of party that, on the one hand, could get me elected just by switching the letters around, and on the other hand, could throttle my campaign just by telling people a lie. And that's what it would be, because people who spread the word Kevin Craig is an anarchist, they're playing on the fact that voters not only have a party spirit and don't know the issues, but they also are victims of educational malpractice at the hands of government-run schools. And they have come to be trained that an anarchist is a bomb-throwing assassin who doesn't believe in private property and seeks to foment chaos and disorder and riots in order to destabilize the government, overthrow it by force or violence, and set up some sort of wacky and dreadful political scheme. People believe that. That's what they've been taught that an anarchist is. And so all you have to do is say the A word, Kevin Craig is an anarchist, and oh, well, I'm not voting for him. That's it. I don't have to know anything more. And that means they'll be voting for big government. So this is why I'm running, is basically to get people to rethink the whole framework of, do we really need anarchists in our society to make our society peaceful, to make it orderly, to make it prosperous? And my contention is no. Anarchists are the biggest threat to our prosperity, to our peace, and toward our success as an orderly, libertarian kind of society. They're a threat to the vision even of the Republican Party. If you look at their platform, for the most part, anarchists are the threat, and the Republicans, the voters, don't realize this. And so it's easy to tell someone, Kevin Craig is an anarchist, don't vote for him, bad character, wants to destroy private property and the government and create a chaotic society where everybody's a criminal. And that's the complete opposite of who I am as a candidate. So there's the issues facing us in the Missouri 7th District. I hope you can see the importance of trying to educate your neighbor and using this perhaps as a conversation starter. Are you voting for Kevin Craig? He's not an archist. Well, what do you mean he's not an archist? And then doing a bit of education. Surely it would be really amazing. The better my turnout is, I think the more of a conversation starter we'll have for 2 years from now. And a real closely contested election would, of course, really make some news in some circles and would really raise some eyebrows that there's a guy who says he's not an archist. You know, hint, hint, wink, wink, he's actually an anarchist. And look how well he did in the polls. That could be a conversation starter. But that's what we need right now. We don't need electoral victories because we're so far away from the Constitution. We're so far away from the original American dream of a vine and fig tree society that education is the number one goal. And so the question is, what can we do to open up opportunities for education? And hopefully this website will create an opportunity for you to start educating your neighbors.